This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Okay, that is it. Love the show. And I will now leave a few seconds of silence so Dave can get a good room tone for that good, good denoising.
Is December 1989 and also January 1990. Don't think too much about that. You've got some good news and you've got some bad news. The good news, Magnum's back. Turns out he's got two families and he's brought back with him what your mom calls his wife and his six new kids. This development is creating a lot of discord in the house, but I just want to channel that energy into a place where you can hash it out and tag these new pups and mother with great names until the time where you can figure out what to do with all of them. The bad news is, when your brother Eric came back on the weekend to help look for Magnum, he also found your diary. In particular, last week's entry about your bad sex with Dennis and your mega abortion and your dad's new fuck buddy. He was about to go to Mum with the deets, but you stopped him at the last second and showed him the back page of your diary. You know, the one with the legend, sex with Dennis, the code for when you're feeling bad about yourself and your prospects. Mega abortion, the code for going nuclear, playing sick for a week, and returning to school having totally reinvented yourself. And of course, Dad's fuck buddy. People you think Dad is fucked up because you're beginning to suspect maybe Dad hurts people for fun and or money. So just to plug all those variables into the last entry, you thought you'd have a great boyfriend and a cool group of girls to hang out with by now. So over the holiday break, you're going to create a new you, and it's going to be great! And the fact that you haven't seen your neighbor in a couple weeks and there's like this little mound of dirt under your window is just going to be one of those things you deal with when you live with Dad. Besides, you need to deal with all this dog stuff, Discord channel, hashing, tagging, great names, puppies! Phew! Maybe a little break before you get to it, yes? Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
Okay, I love the legend at the back of the diary because it reminds me of the meme that you still sometimes see on Twitter. It's like jumps off from a real article from USA Today. Sneaky teen texting codes, what they mean, when to worry, which is like classic, just alarmist journalism for scared parents. But then you get the ones on Twitter where it's like, is your child texting about Olive Garden? Here's a quick guide to find out. OG Olive Garden, LMAO, love me an olive, LOL, lots of lasagna. R-O-F-L, ravioli or flavorful linguine, BRB, breadsticks rock, bro, WTF, where's the fettuccine, and finally, STFU, some tiramisu for us. So, well done, Jillian Alice on Twitter, because you got quoted in this Daily Mail article that I just pulled up while I was listening to Dave's intro, reading from the real diary that is real.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about the quiz?
Yeah.
Well, of course, it is the holiday season here as we're recording on March the 30th. So our quiz is rate your ho-ho-ho-ness. This is, of course, from a time before ho was slangishly meant to be an abbreviation for whore. So
goodness.
I don't think this would have been, well, you know. Okay, I'm sorry. That's not what it's short for. Sorry. I'm just saying this wouldn't have been. This isn't what they would have called this quiz even like 5 years after this. I'm just saying it's a relic of its time.
Okay. Sorry. I picked question two to talk about because it threw me into a modern day dilemma. And I do try to do these like me back then, except I always forget that. And I'm doing them as me right now until a question like this comes up. makes me freeze. Which comes closest to your idea of the perfect New Year's Eve? A, a fancy party, a major date, and a new dress. B, a few videos, some friends, and a 2-liter bottle of Coke. Or C, a good night's sleep. And the thing is, all of the above, just all of the above, is exactly how I want to spend all New Year's Eve's. This
quiz is also basically doubles as Pam's life from January to March of 2023.
It's
like,
really
first
true.
One, then the next, and finally a good night's sleep, I hope.
I haven't gotten that one yet, but
oh,
that
no.
is definitely, it's coming.
Spring break, baby, gonna nap it up.
But it's, when I was this age, my New Year's Eves were always the same, always, because my parents were in hotel management, which was a crazy fucking night. So they were not home, because mm-hmm. that was when people went shitballs in the Ramadas.
Sure.
So always, I was home with HBO's stand-up marathon with whatever like candy I could find and chips. And I would stay up late watching videos and comedy and memorizing comedians that every year.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. I was never like a fancy party, major date, and new dress person. I'm a few videos, some friends, and a 2-liter bottle of Coke. If not, good night's sleep, personally. But yes, it's also first one, then the other for me. Dave?
Well, I was sort of torn between parking it and sleeping. And mm-hmm. I feel like I've had it both ways, so I'm just going to say both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why you can't watch videos, drink Coke, and get a good night's sleep on New Year's Eve.
I think it's time to put major back into like slang. Mm-hmm. A major date. Like that does sound good.
Mm-hmm.
A fancy party, a major date, and a new dress. That I yes to this.
Major date, a less successful pilot pitch starring Gerald McCraney.
Yeah.
I went with number 3. What is your favorite part of the holidays? Your options are getting presents, giving presents, time off from school, or baking cookies and decorating the house. I do love giving presents. I also love getting presents, but I enjoy shopping for presents, and that's another one this year. Like, when do you do your shopping? Like, I'm always shopping. Mm-hmm. I have a list running for you. Mm-hmm. I have a list running for you, both of you co-hosts I am pointing at, just on my phone in the cloud for ideas to buy you things. But I went with time off from school, and I don't know if we've talked about it on this podcast, but for December 2022, Dave came up with a bold plan sometime last summer that said, I want to take off the entire month of December from podcasting. And it took a lot of fancy footwork, but we fucking did it. And I have probably bragged on it on social media like 4 times because Dave did most of the work, of course. He's the editor of all the podcasts. But it took a crazy amount of scheduling for us to get all that time off, and we did. And it was glorious. And I hope we could do it again, maybe for 6 weeks this year.
Why not 52? Wait, I also picked time off from school, mm-hmm. which I think is true because you would get to like go do other things.
Right.
Because it doesn't have here what is really true. What's most exciting about the holidays for me is you get to see so many people you love.
Mm.
And that is which is why all the things are in there, but I'm not a cookie baker.
Right.
And I really don't care to decorate the house. I just mm-hmm. want to go. I want to travel, see friends, hug them, and have fun together.
Yeah.
I want to be left alone, play games on my computer, and eat shitty food 24/7. Mm. That is my
just
holidays.
A typical New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Back then, I probably would have said, I mean, depending how far back we go,
mm-hmm.
but I would say getting presents. You know,
yeah.
We all like getting presents because, you know, there was a time in which we couldn't buy ourselves things.
Yeah.
There literally was a barrier between you and stuff.
Yes.
And it was called allowance, and it wasn't very much. Mm-hmm. And as I grow older now, I'm saying this from a place of privilege because, as we say, Tara does all the holiday shopping. Partly because she is really good at it, and maybe she enjoys it on some level, you know, the process of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but I don't enjoy the process of it, and I've come to resent the reciprocal nature of gift giving. In certain instances. For example, Christmas gifts from, like, my sister, who's back in Canada.
And is never going to hear this.
Probably never going to hear this, but, like, we are 10 years apart. We didn't have a lot of, like, Venn diagram time in the same house together. Even when we did live in the same house, she was, you know, in her wild oats years. So, you know, like, I never really saw her. I don't have a lot of memories of her at home. So we don't really super duper know each other well. So we don't get each other great gifts. Like, personal, like, oh, you nailed it gifts. You know, they're fine. Mm-hmm. I drink out of the Tim Hortons mug that she got me every week. I love it. It's a very well-made mug, but, you know, it's a mug. And then I've got, oh, I got to get my sister something. Oh, I got to ship it to Canada. Christmas.
La, 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 la. The other thing is that Dave and I have basically agreed to not get each other presents, and we mostly don't. But sometimes I like to surprise him. And last year what happened was he was at HEB, our local wonderful grocery store, and they had special seasonal stockings that looked like cowboy boots. And so he texted me a picture of them, and I was like, obviously we need to have these because they're fucking great. And then I was like, is he sending this to me because he has some kind of secret stocking plan? So then I got him stocking stuffers. And then when I surprised him with it on Christmas, he was like, well, he got mad, a little bit mad because he didn't get me anything, which is fine. Was not necessarily expecting anything at all until HEB got involved.
No. I wasn't connecting any dots there. Like, here's some. We already had stockings. Not like we didn't have stockings in the house if we wanted to do stocking giving. I just thought, I know how you like things that are normal, but are Texas as well.
I do.
You know, like, here is a here's a griddle. Yeah. But for whatever reason, it's a Texas-shaped griddle.
Yeah.
Here's a paving stone. But for whatever reason, it's a Texas paving stone.
Yep.
Here is some macaroni. But for whatever reason, it's Texaroni and it's in the shape of Texas.
You're saying this like it's dumb to like these things. They're all obviously great.
I'm not. Like, okay, if you live in Iowa, I'm going to say, I'm going to put money on the fact that you can't go into your, I don't know, Wegmans, your Tiger Food, whatever the fuck you got up there, and get Iowaroni. Only Texas is making pasta in the shape of itself.
Yeah, well, I can, yes, because I can touch like 9 Texas things from where I'm sitting right now. It is a brand that likes to grow.
So that is to say, I saw these stockings that were cowboy boots. I thought, oh, Tara would enjoy that.
And I did.
I wasn't dropping hints that I would like stockings because, here's my other thing about the holidays.
Oh, gosh.
I hate the piles of holiday detritus that survive for minimum 3 weeks. You always open your stuff somewhere, and then there's like this little pile of like, this box used to contain a chocolate. Here's the wrapping paper for this. Here's the box something else came in. Here's the pile of chocolates you don't know what to do with because you don't want to eat them all right now. But you don't really have like a chocolate nook in your house. And so the chocolate just stays on some table forever. And then like the chocolate attracts other things. Like, you know, you got like a little game or a deck of cards and you're like, well, I guess I'll put it next to the chocolate because that's a Christmas thing. And there's like this little pile of Christmas that's sitting there until January. And you're like, ah, the pile of Christmas. I hate.
You are so full of shit. You have piles of stuff around our house all the time.
Yeah, but
first
only
of
at
all,
Christmas piles.
No,
at Christmas.
They're not Christmas piles. They're Dave piles. This is why you can't leave the house without coming back 2 minutes later and being like, You're the one who's making it seem like I tolerate piles of Christmas stuff around my home when you know I don't. I am forever cleaning up after you.
This is going to get into mine. Segue into mine?
Sure.
Okay. So mine is question 13. Which is, if it were up to you, when would you take down the Christmas tree? And my answer is December 25th.
No, your answer is don't put up a Christmas tree.
Okay, but I, yes, that is true. I don't like Christmas trees that much, especially if you don't use them for presents, which we don't, because as you said, we don't give each other presents at Christmas, really. I would love it if the tree came down before the end of Christmas Day proper, but according to this quiz, not an option. December 26th is the earliest, so I will pick that. The Christmas tree, so here's the thing. Tara wanted a Christmas tree. She likes Christmas trees. I'm like, all right, fine. That's great. Like, get a Christmas tree. Let's put it up. As long as I don't have to decorate it or take it down, I'm all for you doing all the work and then enjoying the result of your labor.
Yes.
And we've got like one of those, you know, mini, but not super mini trees, you know, like 4.5 foot kind of, you know, just reusable tree.
Yes.
And you plug it in and we stick it on the kitchen table so dog can't knock it over. So for way too long, there is a Christmas tree on our kitchen table. It didn't go down until mid-January this year, which is way too long.
Here's why. We were still on holiday until we came back to our first podcast in January.
I don't care.
Well, You can take it down whenever you want if it offends you this much.
No, that's the thing, is I'm not putting it up and I'm not taking it down.
Well, then shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up about your opinions.
This is your tree, I'm just saying. In
your
a perfect
tree.
World. It is!
This is your tree, and I hate it.
In a perfect
it's not
world.
Even, I don't want presents.
Don't make me say in a perfect world the fifth time. In a perfect world, I just did it. In a perfect world, that's six. It would come down the next day, and I wouldn't have to deal with Christmas trees or Christmas piles
Good
after
Lord.
Christmas. Because there's something very depressing
Christmas
about
piles.
Seeing Christmas stuff after the actual Christmas day. I don't like it. I feel the same way about Christmas lights on homes. Certainly,
You're
if you can't take them down,
one.
Just don't illuminate them
Mr.
after
Glark.
Christmas.
All right, fine. I can take this note and I can be respectful of this, but I just need you to know, Dave,
yeah.
from now on, mm-hmm. whenever I come across a pile of shit anywhere in my house, which is fucking daily, they're Christmas piles from now on.
That's right. Put
hey,
a tree
Dave,
on it.
Can you deal with this Christmas pile? In this case, it's a pair of scissors
no,
left
no, no, no.
directly beside the knife block because he could take them out, but he doesn't know how to put them back.
Look.
Tell me I'm wrong. Dave, I fucking put them back this morning because you opened your saltines last night.
Look.
This is one of those slumber parties where the parents are arguing
Shut
and
up,
everybody's
Pam.
In the bedroom and
Shut
nobody
up,
knows
Pam.
What to do.
Look, I'm not saying I hate Christmas piles because they're untidy and clutter. I'm uh-huh. saying I hate Christmas piles because they're liminal objects
yes.
that exist outside of space and time.
Right.
And they cannot be categorized. They cannot be... labeled, they have to exist in a pile themselves or something bad happens.
I'm going to figure this out for this year. That's my pledge to you. Pam, okay. when do you want to take your Christmas
you know how,
tree down?
Hang on. You know how our dog, Knowlton, has his big, soft box of dog toys?
Yes.
We just need something like that for
yes,
Christmas
that's
pile.
The solution that I was going to unveil in November, but now
can't
you spoiled
wait.
It.
I can't fucking wait!
And when do you prefer to take your Christmas tree down? You're not often home at Christmas, are you? You're usually traveling. You're at other people's Christmas trees.
Yes, although this year we started, we wanted my kid to have home memories, new memories. Everybody kind of shifted our traditional Christmas because everybody moved and the house that we used to spend every Christmas in is no longer in the family. So, mm-hmm. so we're trying the summertime Christmas and it was great because it was 98 degrees or something on Christmas Day here in LA mm-hmm. and no one's here. So it was quite a fun time. The tree goes up usually on Thanksgiving weekend mm-hmm. and the tree comes down after New Year's mm-hmm. before everybody goes back.
That reminds me what I was going to say when Tara started talking about the outside date of when you take the tree down. For me, as discussed, same day, next day would be great, please. But like in a world where I have to exist with Christmas people, the wow. very latest is the Feast of the Epiphany. That's the very latest you have to take your tree down. I don't want to see it after the Feast of the
I
Epiphany.
I once went to a house that had like 8 Christmas trees in
mm-hmm.
it. And I was like,
no.
this glorious home. They're just Christmas everywhere. So we do have like a wild tree that is my kid's tree that she gets mm-hmm. to decorate and put. Because, Dave, mm-hmm. that's where you put the Christmas pile. You put the Christmas pile under the tree, and when it's time to take the tree down, it is time to put all the Christmas detritus away, including this rando candy cane, this chocolate I guess I'll eat right now, this thing I'm going to give to my friend, and any empty boxes that are left. And that is it. And anything else just gets packed up, and next year you open it and you go, oh, look at all these candy canes I gave myself.
I am not saying that my Christmas pile organization world couldn't use a shakeup. Obviously, it's going to happen. 2023 is going to be the year of the Christmas pile box. I can feel it in my bones. But you shouldn't have more than one Christmas tree in your house, Pam.
Oh, no, it's great. Hers is like pink and ridiculous.
That's the chaos tree. That's
it's
where you
the
let
chaos
the kid
tree. It's
do
the kids
whatever.
Tree.
Let the kid do the big
yes.
one.
No.
No, the kid does the big one, and then mom comes over, and we move him around when she's not looking, as tradition says.
You let your kid name your dog after a toy. You should have a crazy Christmas tree.
No, you have a kid tree and a canonical tree.
I'm not saying having your kid name your dog after a toy is bad news. I
no,
think that's
it's a great.
Great
name.
I'm just saying, same vibe, crazy Christmas tree house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great tree. It's it's
8 trees in this other house.
That house had a lot of rooms.
No,
that house
you.
Was like a compound.
Yeah, there are wackos who keep their trees up all year round, And there are other people who put them up like before Halloween. Like I'm not, there are people that are worse Christmasers than me.
720 Sassy Go, are you enjoying this 20 minutes of Christmas talk here in April? Let us know.
Let's play some calls. Why don't we?
That's going to be it. You can stop scrubbing and forwarding now. We're at the calls.
Okay, well, I usually organize the calls by, like, the same way we organize episodes. So teen life, pop culture, fashion, etc. But this time, all of the teen life calls were actually just body talk. And I'm going to warn everyone, there's horrifying things in all of these. So if you want to go ahead and skip to pop culture, because you're going to be upset by disgusting body talk, this is your official warning, clip one.
If you have been disgusted by body talk, you've already left this podcast a long time ago. Long time ago.
That's true.
I
forgot about the last slumber party that was 82% poop talk.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But before we get into gross, we didn't even say what we got. I just want to know, Dave, did you get Scrooge?
Oh, yeah.
Is your answer?
100% Scrooge.
Yeah,
I actually got
middle.
One that wasn't even in the middle. System.
Dave, like, they called Santa
Scrooge.
On you.
Yeah. Yeah. Scrooge.
Whereas I was in the middle category, and I think Dave knows, and he's already alluded in this conversation to the fact that, like, I'm pretty pro-Christmas.
Yeah, you're pro-Christmas, but you're not, like...
I'm also lazy.
This is my personality Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, you don't wear jingle bell earrings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Yes. I also don't like Christmas, like, spread out over the whole year. Like, I will only watch Christmas movies in the month of December.
And we only watch Jaws on...
We watch Jaws every July 4th.
There is Christmas people.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Tara's a Christmas person. Uh-oh, we're back.
We're back.
No more calls. Sorry. There's Christmas people. And then there's, I have modern calligraphy signs in my house, Christmas people.
Mm.
Those are the ones you have to watch out for. Mm-hmm. Live, love, laughter, faith, Christmas, hope.
Jingle.
Wash your hands. What? All right. Calls.
Go ahead.
Okay. Call number one.
Hey, Sassy friends. This is Steven in Cincinnati. I am working through the backlog of episodes. And in the September 89 episode, you mentioned the eye exam air puff. And that reminded me of one of the times from when, through my old workplace, I volunteered at a few mobile clinics that give glasses to folks in need. Obviously, stuff like prescriptions and diagnoses are things only doctors can do. But most of the rest of the stuff anybody can do with a little bit of training. And I mean a little, because these were only 2-week clinics. So I was on one of these clinics, and at the tonometer, which is the machine that puffs air into your eye, the person demonstrating needed a volunteer, and no one really looked like they wanted to volunteer. So I went ahead and volunteered, because those don't really bother me. So got an air puff in my eye. That was cool. And then the next step is to make sure everybody else can do it. And of course, nobody wanted to volunteer for those. So I ended up getting like 24 puffs of air into my eyes over the course of about 20 minutes. So that was fun. It wasn't really too bad. My eyes were a bit dry. That's it. So, okay, that is it. Love the show. And I will now leave a few seconds of silence so Dave can get a good room tone for that good, good denoising.
You know those, like, you ever see, like, you know, things in the internet? Like, you won't believe how well-preserved this Incan mummy is. And then you're like, yeah, I guess it's pretty, but they have no eyes. That's what I imagine Steven looks like after this 20.
Yeah, I just recently used the GIF of someone's rubbing their eyes inside their eyelids, and you see their fingers under their eyelids. That's also what I imagine Steven had to get through.
I don't care for that GIF at all, and I've seen it. It's upsetting.
Need that image.
I don't think they do the eye puff anymore, though. I just got an eye exam like 2 weeks ago, and they didn't do it.
They didn't? No, they got something new now.
Yeah.
I was so happy.
What'd they do?
It's just a different kind of scan. Like, it's nothing physical that you feel at all.
They take your temperature with one of those COVID thermometers. It's something like that. Thank you, Steven. Thank you for the great audio.
Yes. Yep. Clip two.
Hi, Tara, Dave, and Pam. This is Laura. I am finally catching up on a bunch of episodes, and I just had to call in because of you guys talking about Bezoars. I used to work in surgery at kind of a small hospital and saw a surprising amount of Bezoars. There was this one guy who, he actually looked like, I can't think of his name, that redheaded guy from Workaholics. He literally had that kind of hair and was eating it, and we had to get it out of him. And also my other favorite is the time that we did one, and it was closer to the patient's rectum. So the surgeon actually documented in the chart the patient had giant rectal bezoar, and for some reason, because, you know, I'm 12 years old, even though I work in medicine, cracked me up to this day. So I just had to call and comment. If you have multiple Lauras, kind of going with Dave's suggestion of, you know, pick your own name, feel free to refer to me as Bezoar Laura. Love the show.
You're gonna
Thank you so much for doing it. Bye. Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
First of all, those are called butt sores.
Thank you also for the pronunciation, because I don't know where I got the idea that it was bezoars, but if Laura, who works in healthcare, is saying bezoars, then that is obviously correct.
Oh, I'm so happy it's bezoars, too, because it sounds like it's, you know, like, I am Lothar of the hill people, and here is my chieftain, Bezoar.
Yep.
So is it, on the last one, it was traveling, and it was a traveling will be sore, and then got stuck at the end? Literally? Is that what happened there?
Sounds like it.
Oh, Dave, are you...
Traveling Bezoar.
I mean, I'm going to say this again because
it's all right. Getting to the end of the line.
Yes, see? Exactly. It couldn't.
You can't poop me out.
Wow. Let's hear clip three.
Hi, this is Kelly in Rhode Island. And I don't really have a funny story. I have a PSA for everybody about extended wear contacts, which I think they still may, maybe. Anyway, I started wearing contacts when I was about 10 because I was a hyper responsible, nerdy girl child, and everybody felt okay with me sticking things in my eyes. And I had extended wears. We were supposed to wear them for, or we could wear them for up to a week before we had to do like a deep clean.
Tara, this is about contact lenses, not tampons. Just so you know.
Yeah. And so I did. And when I was about 15, I went to the eye doctor and he said, oh, you can't wear extended wear anymore. You have capillaries growing into your cornea. And if we hadn't caught this, you might have gone blind. So that was pretty horrifying. So I wore my glasses for like 6 months, just glasses, which I hated. And then I got gas permeable contacts, which I also hated because that was like sticking a piece of plastic in your eye, hard plastic. So I just sort of didn't wear contacts for a little while. And then I started wearing daily wear soft lenses again. And now I have ones that work for me and my, I no longer have capillaries heading towards my cornea. So anyway, that's my PSA about not wearing extended wear contacts. Love the show, long time listener, several times caller, and I just have such a ball listening to you guys. So thanks. Bye.
I don't know what the name is for a group of bezoars, but I'd rather have that in my ass than have to put a contact lens in my eye ever.
Mm-hmm. You would die.
I might give myself a heart attack trying to put a contact lens in my eye, like even before it even touched my eye. Just the idea of it.
It's like that episode of Friends where Rachel has an eye infection and Monica's trying to put eye drops in her at her. And she's like, yeah, you got it. She's like nowhere near. The cap's not even off yet. Anyway, this is very timely because as we write this, Ms. Tori Spelling herself is recovering from having an ulcer removed from under her eye because she left contact lens in too long. So she went out in the town in a pink outfit with a matching eye patch. She decided to go ahead and have fun with it. Let's get into our pop culture calls, starting with an old friend in clip four.
Hey, sassy people. It's Front Porch Kelly. And I just heard my pal, Leg Shaving Jamie, call in about our New Kids on the Block concert experience. And you know, you said that I hadn't called in a while, but I actually did one of those, like, recording things, but I couldn't tell if it worked or not. So I'm just going to go back to the OG and use my phone. I just want you to know that my porch is still standing and the beer is still being drank on that porch. And I love you guys so much. Pam, I am a little jealous of Emmy because you said that she was your soulmate, and I want to know how I get to that level. so yeah, I'm not going to comment on pooping in public. I don't do it, by the way. And,
sounds like a comment.
Other things, but yeah, Jamie and I went to that New Kids on the Block concert. Yes, my dad is a saint. He took us and we went to Fuddruckers to eat, and he lost his hamburger bun on the floor. But, you know, he powered through with two preteen girls and New Kids on the Block, and we had a good time. And like Jamie said, we didn't die from a tornado. So I love you guys. Keep up the good work. I'll call in more often.
Anybody else have the sad Charlie Brown music playing when you heard about the hamburger bun on the floor?
Yes, but I also was thinking the porch is still standing and beer is still being drank on it should be the next t-shirt, in my opinion. Like, do a real, like, western-y style with the porch in the middle.
Yeah, in
Kelly's honor. Kelly, thank you for calling back. I don't know what happened with SpeakPipe. Normally those work well, so I'm sorry you had a bad experience and that we missed a previous call, but we're blessed to have you back.
FPK, first of all, you don't have to worry about being my soulmate when you live in my heart the way that you do. Okay, just front and center, a little FPK. But when I heard that the bun hit the floor, I first thought, man, look at that memory recall she's got. That this is the thing where she's like, my dad's bun. Like, she fell for her dad, and that is sweet. Like, to me, that shows you're very sweet, Front Porch Kelly, and that's why you're just right here. I take you with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Let the buns hit the floor.
Although, speaking of looking up photos for social, I did look up a photo of a Fuddruckers bun and then told Dave, we should go to Fuddruckers this weekend, so that may happen. Let's hear clip five.
Hi there. This is Phyllis Grant from New Brunswick, Canada, and I'd like to ask if you have ever come across the Sassy video that was available. I forget the year, but it was a video, and it was all about Sassy headquarters. Jane Pratt was there. Chip, who was like the cutest guy in the world. I don't know what he did at Sassy, but he was in the video. Just everyone was there, and it was amazing. And I think Enough is Enough, the band, was the one playing in the video. They were on the roof of the building. It looked like the coolest thing ever to me at the time. And I look for it online. I cannot find it. But it was called the Sassy video. It was available at one point. I do believe it may have been 1989 or 1990. But yeah, if you could find that and talk about it, maybe play some clips, it would be amazing. But I don't really think that you can find it, honestly. I really love your show. I just came upon it, and I'm really enjoying it here in the middle of the night in New Brunswick, Canada. And I'll never forget Sassy because it really shaped my way of approaching how to understand this world. And it meant everything. It meant the world. So it means the world to me that you're doing this. Take care. Stay rad. And yeah, stay sassy.
Phyllis, what a beautiful call. I do know the video that you're talking about because when I was still collecting my issues, when they would come in, I would flip through them and make sure all the pages were there and stuff. And so there's an ad in an issue that's coming up fairly soon, I believe, for this video. And I thought, surely someone who had this has digitized it and put it on YouTube. But the name of it is so generic. I don't know. I have searched for it. I mean, Dave is better at this stuff. Maybe he will be able to, and maybe he'll find it where I failed to, but I have searched for it in the past and been unsuccessful, unfortunately.
Send me the deets. I will see if I can figure something out. But if anybody out there happens to know somebody who still has this tape.
Yeah.
Maybe the people, if they still listen on the, you know, that are, we used to be on the staff, they have their podcasts. I'm old, but it's okay. I forget what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about.
Everything is fine.
Thank you. Maybe they have a copy in their attic somewhere. Who knows? But yeah, it sounds like something we should definitely be putting eyes on. I just want to say to the caller, I hope you enjoyed your fiddleheads and that a group of Bezoars, I'm going to say, is called a mucilage.
Speaking of people who used to live used to be on the staff and what they're doing now, by the way, I think this is the first time we've been recording since it was announced that Jane Pratt has a new venture coming in media. It is called, unfortunately, I love her. I'm going to be following this. They followed us. We DM'd a little bit. But this is a not great name. It is Deeda, D-E-E-D-D-A. Good luck having anyone guess what that is on the first try. But anyway, we'll link it in the show notes. And it's a newsletter, and we're also going to link a story from Vanity Fair about this launch and how she got from Sassy to Jane to XO Jane to this. So it's launching in April, and I assume everyone who's listening to this is going to be interested in that as well. So we'll give her a free ride. No free rides for anyone else except her. Let's hear clip six.
Hello, Dave and Tara and Pam. I am like in the middle of listening to Pop Culture 1989, and you all just a little diversion into Hatchet unlocked a apparently repressed, like, seething hatred for English language art class from me in middle school, because here's what happened. Well, it's probably started in like fourth grade. We read Hatchet. Okay, kid, as you said, goes out, fights a bear, whatever. That's cool. But then Gary Paulson just couldn't stop. There's like 5 books in this series, and guess what? Everybody, every English language arts teacher forever wanted you to read them. So we read Hatchet in like fourth or fifth grade. And then, like NASA or some shit says, Brian, remember when you almost died like living alone as a 13-year-old in the wilderness? Like, go back. We'll study you. Like, so he goes back and he like does it again. And then there's like another one where they're like, hey, Brian, you know how much you hate winter? Like, do it again. And then there's another one where he like can't assimilate into regular society because he's had to do so much like survivalist shit in the woods on his own. So he just decides to go back and do it again. And then there's another one. And I was in high school by that point, and they stopped making us read them every year. So I think in the last one, like, he is just, like, out in the woods because he likes it at this point. I don't know, but wow. Wow. Yep, memory unlocked. I didn't even know they actually made a movie because I'm certain they would have had us watch it in school. This is trash. But anyway, like, this whole phone call. But anyway, I just had to let you all know. And I just drank a whole bunch of coffee. If you can't tell, I'm talking real fast. This is Sarah from Indianapolis, by the way. So my son in and softball playing. Yep, this is dumb. Delete it. Okay, bye.
Sarah. No, how about that? We love it. We're happy. This is great. You did everything right.
Yeah, how should it sound Starlog jammable?
Kinda.
Yeah, at this point, the lore.
Let's hear clip 7.
Hey guys, it's Angie from Athens, Georgia, and I just finished listening to the latest episode, and I just had to say I laughed probably as hard as Pam did at the REM recording. Yes, I know I'm from Athens, and I do love REM, but that was really funny. That record was terrible. And that also, in Athens, there's a bar that just this past year hosted the saxophonist from The Lost Boys. We did not actually get to make it out to that, but I actually heard it was really good. So, yeah, I don't know. And then finally, I am from a very small town in South Georgia. I also did not have MTV. As a matter of fact, the cable company that our town had was owned by a very religious family, and we had one channel that had VH1 for half the day and Comedy Central for the other 12 hours of the day, and yeah, that was it. So it could always be worse. It could always be worse. Love the podcast. Love you guys. Pam, my year of dicks was amazing. Keep it up.
The intensity of the nod Pam gave to that call. This is something she has experienced, it seems like.
Definitely had that channel, probably in Mississippi. But it was, yeah, you had just a little bit of each. But yes, VH1, the harmless VH1. And then when there wasn't enough, then you got whatever was harmless Comedy Central at that point, which right. I think maybe wasn't 24 hours.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Crazy.
The Royal Sampler.
Right. All right. Let us hear clip 8.
This is Blake calling in regards to the slander against Cher in the most recent episode of Listen to Sassy, not the host, mind you, the really mean writers of Sassy, feminist icon Cher, legend icon moment in the words of Wendy Williams. And as Tara so aptly said, only like 43 when that article was written. It's really shocking that a magazine geared towards uplifting girls and women of a youthful age would stoop to, you know, what's it called? Misogyny and ageism, especially when she's not that old, and mind you, looks the same these days. I will refrain from going on to a TED talk on the topic of Cher, but if you would like, I could always call back and do so. Thank you, and love all the shows, and continue on. Thank you.
I mean, as we're unfortunately discovering as we go through the issues, it's not that surprising that they would be misogynist. There's a lot of girl-on-girl crime in Sassy that would not fly today. But at the time, you know, that's how you signaled coolness, is being disdainful of other girls and women, unfortunately. But thank you, Blake, for sticking up for Cher. She is an icon. She is a legend. She does look incredible, especially then. This was dancing on the fucking aircraft carrier with strip up her butt.
Yep.
Right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, haven't we all wish we could do that?
That's what I'm doing this spring break.
Hey. All right, let's hear clip 9.
Hey, I said on Instagram that I would make a comment about Penola Hughes, and then you guys told me to call in, so I'm calling in. So this is Kimberly in Goose Creek, South Carolina, calling in again. In, I think, 1985 or 1986, General Hospital filmed a wedding in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. I think it was Terry Brock was marrying somebody. She was Bobby Spencer's stepdaughter, and she was murdering people in her sleep, or she was being set up to think she was. Anyways, Anna Devane, who is Penola Hughes, was in town investigating something, but she wasn't invited to the wedding. But anyways, my mom let me skip school that day. We went to Belk a few days beforehand, and I bought a one-piece chambray button-up jumpsuit with a lace collar to wear to stand outside the filming of this church scene. And I met Anna Devane and got her autograph and chatted with her, and it was basically the best thing to happen to me before I was old enough to make out with boys and have a driver's license. Anyways, that was what I thought about when I said, and then I went on a deep dive online to like get all those facts, but then I've had a couple of glasses of wine, so I might have mixed them up. But anyways, that's what I thought of when I saw that picture. All right, bye.
Somebody needs to paint me a picture of what she wore, because I don't quite understand what that was.
What didn't you understand?
I don't know what the words she was using to describe what she was wearing mean.
Okay.
Start with chambray.
Chambray? Yeah. Do you know what chambray is?
Obviously not.
It looks like denim. Looks like light denim, but it's like a fabric.
Okay.
So you've seen a chambray garment.
I think I know
before.
What you're talking about.
So it was a jumpsuit. You know what a jumpsuit is.
Yep.
It's what they wear on Taskmaster when they have to do a task where they make it messy.
Pit stop people wearing their jumpsuits.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, lace with a lace collar.
With a lace collar. Wait, so is the denim, is the chambray blue always?
Yes, usually. Okay.
So it's got this really lacy white collar over this denim-y jumpsuit?
Yeah, but chambray with lace was common at the time. This was a very like Laura Ashley aesthetic where it was like shabby chic, but for your clothes.
Okay. All right. I think I get the picture. Thank you.
Yeah. That sounds gorgeous. Belk is my favorite name of a department store, which she said that's where they bought it.
Buy it in Belk.
Belk. Because it still exists. It was a sponsor of Project Runway one or more seasons in the middle bad period that no one likes.
He didn't understand any of the fashion talk, but I couldn't understand a word she was saying about the soap opera stuff.
Sure.
It just sounds like someone woke up from a dream and they're grabbing you and they need to tell you something that's going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, what?
I enjoyed the part where the person was killing people in their sleep. That's great. It's a nice little twist on the sleepwalking storyline that we usually get.
Mm-hmm. Our final pop culture call is number 10.
Hey, Tara, Dave, and Pam. This is Sarah from New Jersey calling about the December 89 issue with a Fluvog story. I was not cool enough for Fluvogs in high school when I was a Sassy reader. Although I did know they were cool because I had some envy for the cool girls and boys who had flu fogs. But later in my life, when I had moved to Los Angeles during my 30s, I found myself in the flu fog, probably flagship store, I'm assuming, at least their LA store on Melrose, eyeing a particularly beautiful pair of very witchy teal booties, I guess you would call them. I don't know what you call them. They look like witch shoes. Pam's 100% correct on that. Teal with a gorgeous chartreuse silk ribbon for the laces. Anyway, tried them on, couldn't put them off. I'm not that cool. But despite that, while I was there alone in the store, the only customer, who walks in but Corey Haim, with his entourage, which included his mom, and they proceeded to browse for shoes and included me when they wanted opinions. Well, when Corey wanted opinions on what he deemed the quote most rock and roll boots he'd ever seen, unquote. Yeah, I think he left us about a year later. So that is a kind of a poignant and fun story for me. And it makes, and I think of it anytime I hear flu fox. So there you go.
Thank you for that call.
Kind of like my Phil Hartman story.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it was really fun. It's like, it was kind of a downer.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking about, I had a pair of flu vlogs and they were way too cool for me and I can never pull them off now because they were like black flu vlogs with like red, like sports car flames on the side of them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember why I don't have them anymore, because they were in the box of clothes in Hawaii in the bin that got all kind of that weird white green mold spotty
really?
Thing. Yeah.
It was I'm in surprised there. You still had them in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who wants flames and mold on the same shoe? Nobody.
No one. Got a few fashion calls. Let's hear clip 11.
Hi, it's Jenny from Saskatoon. I'm calling from the basement of the library where I work. So I'm whispering. I am a Jennifer. I felt I needed to make that clear, but I, as an independent thinker, decided to go with Jenny at a young age. I feel I need to defend my title as a fashion-forward dresser. He mocked me the last episode when I said my friends thought I dressed pretty cool. Well, you know what? I had really supportive friends, so that's what matters. Anyway, what got cut off on my call was I wanted to tell you that the girl who wore the afghan around her waist ended up becoming one of the founders of the intermittent fasting movement. She's a scientist who works in Chicago at a university there, and she's incredibly smart and fancy. So I think the afghan was a portent for the magic of her life to come. She's really incredible. Anyway, I also realized in listening to the super episode where you had everyone's phone calls, and that was great. I love hearing everyone's calls. That I forgot to tell you that when I was in grade 6, my friends and I made effigies of New Kids on the Block. We all brought paper and we made we got a big roll of paper and we made effigies of the New Kids on the Block. And then one day on a lunch break, we lit them on fire because that's how cool we were. Anyway, I don't know why I'm calling into the Listen to Sassy Hotline to convince people that I'm still super cool. Calling from the basement of the library. Anyway, I hope you're all doing well. Pam, it's nice to have you back. Congratulations on your nomination. And I'll see you later. And I got a Patreon because I finally got my child tax credit. So I spent it on that. Okay, bye.
Thanks, kids.
Yeah, thank you for using your children to get in the Patreon. That is very, very important.
Mom, what's to eat tonight? Nothing.
Jenny, I feel I need to explain myself, and I hope that you didn't feel slighted when I said your friends were saying that you look cool because they were nice. That may be true. And I just want to say I was not a cool person either, and the ways that I tried to distinguish myself when I was around this age, a little bit younger, were extremely douchey and indefensible. And I'm going to be very vulnerable and tell you two things I did that I'm sure people are still telling stories about me now because they were so stupid. And I still don't know why I did them. So I had a friend of my parents, a family friend, gave me a manual typewriter when I was in about grade 6 or 7. And because they knew I liked to like write stories and it made it more official. And that typewriter was very precious to me. And for some reason, one day I decided I'm going to bring it to school and that's how I'm going to write everything. But I know I can't make that much noise because it's the loudest thing in the fucking world. So I'm going to gently strike each key and then press it to the paper. This lasted for one day. I was way too old to get away with this kind of bullshit. Like, I don't know why I was allowed to even try it, frankly. That was one. The other, the same year, my parents had a spice rack that they weren't using, like a little, just a little like three shelf, you know, shelf. You could also use it for curios or whatever. And I thought it would be cool, instead of putting stuff inside my desk, again, at school, I was going to bring this shelf and tape it to the side of my desk to put all my little, like, school supplies on. And there's no reason to do either of these things. I'm blushing just telling these stories because they're so stupid.
I've never heard these before. That's how deep in the vault these were.
So,
wait, question, though. How many times did you get beat up?
Well, I was a girl, so not as much as I probably should have, honestly. I'm sure I just got shit-talked to death behind my back.
And absolutely.
Rightly so. I'm not kidding. Like, someone remembers these moments because they were absolutely idiotic.
Taped a spice rag to your desk.
Yeah. Did I come back in and find that someone had cut all the tape so that during recess, so that when I touched it, it fell off? Of course. Who wouldn't do that? So all I'm saying is, Jenny, you were cool. I was not cool. And I am not better than anyone. In fact, I'm worse. So if you felt bad, know where it was coming from. An asshole.
So you were trying to do a big reinvention at school, I guess.
I guess.
Right? You're like the diarist. You're going to.
Yes.
You took a week off. You came up with some real, real winners in the new you category.
Right.
Pressing the key against the paper.
So stupid. So stupid. And I truly think the only reason that I was not like kicked out of the room was that our teacher that year was a like brand new straight out of teacher's college. And I think he was like, he was the first teacher that we had, because this was a French immersion school, who was not a native French speaker or like not a francophone. And so I think he also was like self-conscious that his French was not great. So he like let us run him for sure. Oh, Mr. Palmarin. I still remember him. Sorry, sir. Anyway. Thank you, Jenny, for helping me access those very shameful memories. And if I made you feel bad, I hope that makes you feel better. Let's hear clip 12.
Hey there, y'all. This is Jennifer again. I have a question for Pam. So I was homesick from work today. It was the perfect opportunity to watch My Year of Dicks on Hulu, which I really, really enjoyed. It was great. And I saw something that made me wonder. In the scene, Pam, where you're getting ready to go out to the movies and you're putting makeup on, you did that little thing where you put on your lipstick and then you stick your finger in your mouth and pull your finger out to get any lipstick like off the inner part of your lips so it doesn't get on your teeth. And I'm like 99% sure, because I've been doing that trick for decades as well. Pretty sure I read that in Sassy. See, I just said 99% and then I changed it to pretty. No, I'm confident, 99% sure-ish, that I read that trick in Sassy. And so I was just wondering if that part of your movie was a specific reference to Sassy. Thank you.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure I learned it in Sassy too. I think didn't we cover this issue? It was the party one, right?
I tried to find it because that was my memory too. That it
sounds
was the,
familiar.
It was the. I know we definitely talked about it on the podcast. I thought it was from the story where they're getting ready for the party, like from the previous December, where they're like, you know, fuel up for the party before you leave. You could each split one piece of vegetable pizza or whatever the fuck it was.
Yes, that's right.
But it wasn't that. It wasn't in there. So I don't. I seriously scrolled through all however many fashion episodes there's been and looked at the visual aids to see where that was from. And I don't recall which story it was from. But yes, we did talk about it. Because I remember like that moment from my Year of Dicks too, when we all watched it together last year around this time. And I was like, she did the thing! Because I think we had talked about it already by then, so that Dave would have recognized it.
Yeah, it might be from pageants and moved into Do You Put Vaseline on Your Teeth? Maybe around that time.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway.
Sounds like that sort of tip. Speaking of the Oscars, Pam, do you have any like incredible Oscar night stories of people making asses of themselves or being like great or something?
We just had a lot of waiting to get onto the red carpet. So I spent a lot of time trying to get into the Oscars. And then it was like, the Oscars are beginning. Please sit. Please sit. So that all went very quickly. The Oscars felt a little more like attending a pageant, where all of the stuff up before that was very homecoming court and lots of parties and hanging out and having awesome moments. But losing allowed me to go, well, I think I'm going to go not sit back at my seat and let a seat filler enjoy the rest of the Oscars. And I'm going to go have a martini, which I did next to, and then I got to see Lady Gaga, and I ran right up to her and said, thank you for being Lady Gaga.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. You're cool, Pam.
Yeah, I don't know, Pam.
You're all right.
I'm fine. It was a lot of people were like, you know, whenever we did weird interviews, we were interviewed for the New York Times, the style section. Thank you. Fashion. Like, I'll be in Tara's archives one day. March 2023, New York Times asks, what's it like to be a first time nominee and what are you wearing? And they just constantly referred to me as normal. A normal person. we're trying to ask what normal people are going to do when they
have to
go
a spice rack to your desk.
I did. I wore all my spices out front. Have you seen?
The seat filler comes to your chair and there's just like a spice rack taped to the armrest. Like, what the fuck?
By the way, I was looking, while you were listening to that last call, I was Googling that teacher and he retired in 2021 after 37 years of teaching. But he has a very small footprint online, but I sure did find his address immediately. So maybe I will mail him an apology because the internet has his address.
Wow.
Let's hear clip 13.
Hey, this is Fiona calling from Calgary. I've been listening from the beginning, and there are a million things I could have called you about, like pajamas or sun-in or anything else. But no, I am calling you about bread dough ornaments. Specifically, Vicky cooks up an ornament from December 1989, those horrifying Santas. And I'm calling because Dave's comment, what is this, like a cookie that your cat doesn't eat that you put on your tree. I am here to tell you from lived experience that a cat will eat a bread dough ornament. I made a series of gorgeous little teddy bears and candy canes once and snowmen and these little reindeer heads that had little wreaths around their neck and they were all painted and I was going to give them as gifts to friends. And my cat bit a bunch of them. And I thought, I was kind of shocked. She didn't eat them, but she did chew them enough that I couldn't give them away. And the ones that she didn't chew and I did give away turned out my friend's cat ate the other. So the whole batch went up in, not smoke, but, you know, cat. They were chewed to death. And so they are a biscuit you can hang on your tree that your cat will eat. Anyway, thanks for the podcast. I laugh every single time, and it's lots of fun to go down a nostalgic rabbit hole. So keep it up. Thanks. Bye.
I wonder if she forgot to shellac them.
Mm. I don't know how much. A cat might not be slowed down by that. Possibly.
I mean, later he will.
That's true.
Or maybe he'll speed things up. I don't know what shellac does.
It's a great point. All right. I just grouped these ones together in a grab bag. Let's hear clip 14.
Hey, Sassy Crew. This is Evil Jenny. I'm calling in with an appropriate nickname because I'm just listening to the Slumber Party episode that talked about having to have a moniker for differentiating junipers. But I want to suggest that Jennies need that too because I was born in 76. And when I played high school tennis, there were 5 Jennies on the team. I was forced to go by Evil Jenny while my doubles partner and best friend went by Benevolent Jenny. But we had other Jennies on the team, like, sadly, in the early 90s, we had Pudgy Jenny. Yes, that was real. And we also had Blonde Jenny. And we had, I think the other Jenny might have got to go by Jenny. She must have been like Jenny Prime. But regardless, I've spent many, many years having to differentiate myself. So I still go by Evil Jenny to a lot of people. Maybe I grew into it. Regardless. Thanks for bringing up some pain there. Love hearing that Jennifer's have the same problem. Love the show. Bye.
Quick shout out to Bitter Chris, who earned this nickname in when I was in college and still has Bitter Chris. Even he's not in his bitter years anymore.
They were so close to creating the Dungeons and Dragons alignment chart. They didn't even know it. They just gave into their worst selves and had Budgie Jenny instead of Lawful Evil Jenny.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that does give you a sense of like who is the true Queen Jenny, the one that just gets to be Jenny without any modifier. Let us hear clip 15.
Hi.
But the problem with having a prime having a prime Jenny just Jenny is that you're setting yourself up to be overthrown. So you always have to watch your back.
Right.
That, you know.
Yes, I just met an Emily that was trying to stay the only Emily. And she said, well, that's you can call her old Emily. And I was like, we could call her other Emily. And she was like, no, you're going to call her old Emily. That is how you keep your throne.
There's a whole sitcom about that with the Christines.
Tara, Dave, Pam, this is Corey, not a boy. I'm just kind of listening to an episode and the automatic like sponsor ad kicked in and it was for Skyline Chili. I live in Cincinnati. So it just reminded me of a time, I don't think it was on this podcast, might have been on Extra Hot Great, where Tara recounted a time eating Skyline Chili and referred to the amount of cheese as like a sarcastic amount of cheese served on top of the spaghetti and the chili. And that was just the most perfect encapsulation of that whole situation. I am not a native Cincinnatian, my husband is, but as an outsider, it has been truly insane to see this just giant Mount Everest of cheese piled atop this very strange local food. And living here now, I just wanted to share that if you order Skyline for takeout, you bring it home, you get like the spaghetti and the chili in a container, and then they give you a giant plastic baggie, like twist-tied, full of the shredded cheddar cheese. And it is so, it is Santa's fucking sack of shredded cheese. And it's insane. Anyway, this has nothing really to do with Listen to Sassy, but I love the podcast so much. I'm 40, so I think of you guys as like my really cool.
Get out of the car, the flood's going to get you.
Very worried about her. Her
sisters and their friend Dave. Thank you for everything.
The bubbling cheese.
Someone is flushing her.
Corey not a boy is named Corey not a boy because once she submitted something to, I didn't know that Corey was not a boy, and I made some assumptions, and then from then on she was Corey not a boy. So
it's also a beautiful last name, not a boy.
Skyline Chili update. I think since the last time we talked about Skyline Chili, and I do believe we've talked about it on this podcast.
Maybe.
As well as Extra Hot Great, definitely. I was like the other day, you know what I want? I want to make Skyline Chili. And we did. We made Skyline Chili. We boiled up the spaghetti and we put chili on top of it. It wasn't quite Skyline Chili because they have like certain things they do to their chili. And I make vegetarian chili, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like some recipes in Skyline Chili said they put chocolate in their chili, which at first I was like, what? And then I'm like, oh yeah, I guess it is kind of sweet. You don't really taste
they do that
the
with
chocolate.
Mexican food sometimes.
Yeah. And so we didn't go whole hog, like authentic Skyline Chili. But I do have a very vivid memory of the first time we actually were in Skyline Chili in Cincinnati on one of our road trips. And that mound of cheese, like you're thinking like, oh yeah, I've put a lot of cheese on something before. Like, no, like it takes like digging to get to the chili below the cheese. Like it really is. You could eat cheese for a while before you hit anything else.
Yeah. I don't think people understand how much cheese there has to be on something for me to be like, that's a lot of cheese.
Good point.
Because I enjoy cheese very much.
Yeah.
And even I was like, I don't know about this. This might be too much.
That call was also a good advertisement for those things you put in your keychain that can like break the windows in your car, you know, those things. I think I hope Corey not a boy had one of those before the Skyline Chili seeping up through the floor of the car got her.
Yes. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Corey.
R.I.P. Corey. R.I.P. Pepper Jack. Let's hear our final clip.
Okay, just left a real dumb voicemail regarding the hatchet or hatchet, whatever the hell it's called. This is totally unrelated. This, I was just reminded that I meant to call, like, whenever I listened to the episode where Dave and Tara's power went out, and then it was just Pam, like, trying to hang on and, like, hold everything together. Like, it was beautiful. I wanted to call it and say, Pam, that is my inner monologue. What you did while you were waiting, narrating, reading the messages. Oh, their power might come back. Oh, here's Tara, Taro, rather. Oh, I know. That was my favorite part. And then I just had to say, like, I appreciated that so much because I was like, this is what people are. People do. This is how we, it was just, it felt like my brain. I was talking to myself in Pam's voice, but it was Pam talking in Pam's voice to everybody except for Dave and Tara because they had no power. Okay. I'm done now. Okay. Bye.
That feels good.
This is the same Sarah who called, who we earlier heard speaking about Hatchet. But yes, I love that.
Thank you so much. That was harrowing. Were they ever going
to
come?
Why did you think you had to vamp this? Well, I didn't. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but like.
Really?
She's trained.
Yeah, you keep going. The Slack was still up and recording, and you were going to maybe come back in. I wasn't going to hit stop. I was worried that it wouldn't record, it wouldn't save the archive that you needed. And yes.
I understand why the recording was open. I was just wondering, like, why you needed to be performant about...
I don't know. Maybe because every time we are about to start, you give her shit about her recording levels. As if it's for the very
well, the
first
recording
time.
Levels were already set and set poorly.
I know, but I'm just saying, this is why she may have felt, I better not try to make any recording decisions on my own. I better just keep going, because if he pops back in and he has to start over, then he's going to yell at me.
Okay, but you don't need to keep talking for your recording to keep going, and the levels won't change it by themselves.
But she's a professional. She was treating it like it was radio.
Well, that's what I'm asking, was it just like improv skills kicking in? You didn't realize it? Like, what was going on?
It would have never occurred to me to not to leave the room. It would have never occurred to me to hit mute or stop or not just like continue to create content that you were going to need in case you were going to. I thought you might text like wrap it up or something just so. And then I just wanted it to be wherever you could leave off and come back in. But then also, I don't know.
You're very considerate. I'm not like bagging on you for it. I just wanted to know what you were thinking, why there need to be constant audio. That's all. And I will say your levels are true to you. Like your levels, why we always have problems with your levels and why I'm basically like, is just
level cop.
It's the price of Pam is what, how I say it now is that wow. Like, no, it's not bad. I'm just saying that you have high highs and sort of soft lows. Mm. You have more range when you talk than anybody else that I record podcasts with. Mm-hmm. So we can't really capture those soft Pam has feelings moments with the excited Pam's moments. And
Pam has more feelings.
Yeah. And there's just no way to have it both ways when you record. So we record, it's loud, it peaks, I complain. You know, that's the price of Dave. Recording the price of Pam. Yes. And then we just move on with our lives and everything works out because I can fix it in post.
Yeah. A lot of people say something to me and then immediately follow it up with, but that's good. No, I'm saying a good thing to you. Mm-hmm. It's like half the things people
say. I can
see
your face when I started this talk on Zoom. You're like, no, I'm like, well, it's not, you know. In a perfect world, would I want to change, fundamentally change Pam so that I have better levels? Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's not where I thought that sentence was going at all.
No, okay.
Here's what Dave was also not texting Pam about that day. Herpetology, where the abbreviations might be LOL, lizards only lizards. WTF, what's that frog? FML, find me lizards. Or TLDR, tailless lis amphibian doing a ribbit. We'll be embarking upon our coverage of the February 1990 issue, starting with its teen life topics. Catherine profiles a girl who was married, became a mother, and got divorced by age 17. New writer Kim France details 7 deadly dude defects. Karen tries her hand at fiction again. Uh-oh. But most importantly, the magazine names a new sassiest girl in America. For my plug this week, last Friday, Doogie Kamealoha MD came back for its second season at Disney Plus. It's a very sweet show. It's not like the other screamy Disney coms. It's sweet and lovely. And I wrote about the parents on that show and their extremely Gen X parenting style. And you can read all about that at The Daily Beast Obsessed, and we will link it in the show notes.
For my plug, this is directed at Houston and Katy, Texas. I'm bringing My Year of Dicks all the way home. Please join me April 14th or 15th. Sorry if you're late to listening. We're going to do a screening of My Year of Dicks and then a conversation on how to channel your voice into stories that can reach the entire world. This program is geared for ages 14 to 20, but you can be the cool older person in someone's life and come hang with us. I'll have a link in the show notes to my Instagram page about all of this, and then we're going to have Eventbrite links and all that.
And for my plug, I'd like to plug the new genre, Screamcom. Screamcom. You can follow Screamcom inventor Tara Ariano on Twitter and Instagram at Tara Ariano. You can follow Pam at Pamela Ribbon. This podcast itself is at Listen to Sassy. Don't forget, you can join the Listen to Sassy Club. It is $5 a month. It gets you ad-free episodes, free stickers, access to our Discord to chat with us about all things 80s and 90s. And of course, please rate and review us on the podcast platform of your choice. We are up to now requesting 23 stars. Thank you very much.
You can also call us 720 Sassy Go. Let us know how you like to Christmas or how you wish in a perfect world Dave was at Christmas time. Different is what I think the answer is.
Yep.
Leave us a voicemail about the show or play it on a future episode. You can find information about us, visual aids for episodes, and contact info at listentosassy.com. You can also take quizzes there. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next time. See you on the Discord. Bye. Hashtag puppies.
Is your child texting about Charles Dickens? BTFO, give that food to Oliver. IMHO, is Miss Havisham okay? TTYL, Tiny Tim, you'll live. And more.
These are good.